Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. I've often said some of the most encouraging times in the life of a church is when the Word of God fits in exactly to where we are as a church and where the world is, and God lays out an answer or solution to our present need. And I believe we find that in Ephesians chapter 3. And I just hope and pray that God would give us the grace this morning to grant us wisdom and understanding so that we might embrace these truths, because we truly need them this morning, not only for us, but for the church universally, for God's people. But we have a truth here this morning that I do believe with all my heart that we need, by God's grace, to understand and embrace by faith. You know, it is my belief, because I do not know every man's prayer, but it is my belief that few men have ever equaled the humility, the love and depth of this prayer of the Apostle Paul for the believers at Ephesus. And I'm not alone in that opinion. Moved by the danger of their fainting at his tribulations for them, which Paul does not condone, as we'll see in a few moments, the Apostle Paul would pour out his heart before God on their behalf, because they were not understanding why Paul's tribulations was for their glory. They were looking at it in a wrong way. And Paul wanted God to reveal unto them the truth of tribulations in the Christian life and how we as believers are to face such afflictions and persecutions in the world. He wanted them that God would grant them according to the riches of his glory. He wanted them to know more perfectly the same glorious truths he himself had learned by such tribulations. Now listen to me. I want to go slow this morning. Maybe a little teaching. But he wanted them to learn the same glorious truths that he learned from those tribulations. And beloved, this is the very heart and soul of true intercessory prayer. When God, by his grace and mercy, comforts and fills our hearts and minds with the love of Christ and his truths, that we are as believers compelled to intercede for the spiritual well-being and comfort of others. That's the heart and soul of true intercessory prayer. With the same comfort, according to 2 Corinthians 1:4, to comfort others with the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. That, beloved, is true intercessory prayer. To merely pray for others is good in itself. But beloved, when we've been comforted by God in a distinct manner and we begin to be compelled to pray for others that they might know that same comfort whereby God had comforted us, that's intercessory prayer. Oh, Lord, please be with our sister and give her strength and guide her through the day. But beloved, if we've understood anything about weakness and enjoying the strength God gives us, when we've enjoyed that ourselves, when it's been embedded into our hearts by his Spirit and by the grace of God, our intercessory prayer changes. Then it's more heartfelt, more real, more compassionate. That's bearing one another's burdens. And so Paul, when he heard about their danger of fainting, it moved him to pray to God that he would grant them the same knowledge that he'd learned from his tribulations, that they might understand that these tribulations were nothing compared to what God had showed him. For Paul, though Paul knew these glorious truths to be true in his own heart and mind, listen to me, he also knew that such rich blessings could never be taught at the hands of men. Now think about this. Paul was a great preacher. Next to Christ, who else was so good a preacher than that of Paul? went up to the third heavens, he's seen things men ought not to see. Paul knew a lot about God. But Paul himself knew there were some things he could never teach men. He knew there were some truths about God no human words could ever put into a phrase. There were things that only God could show them. We live in a day and age today where knowledge is so abundant, we think just knowing something is the answer to the problem. That's not true. There's a lot of things about God you and I will never know until God gives us an understanding. No matter how many words men might put it into, if the Spirit of God does not enlighten our hearts, we'll never come to know that truth as we should. We are so confident that we play the Holy Spirit sometimes ourselves. Paul knew that. Paul knew he could not teach these. He knew that these things must be divinely granted by God himself. That's why he says, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that he would grant unto you. Beloved, so often what we learn at the hands of God through our own personal experience and tribulations and afflictions, though we may speak well of those divine truths we've learned, yet until God grants an understanding, others will never know or value such amazing truths. We need to understand that truth. Simply because you and I can put it into words what God has done for us, doesn't mean we can teach that to others. Doesn't mean that we can open up the heart of men and show them exactly the same comfort we have. There are just many things, dearly God, dearly beloved, we have to turn to God and say, God, if you don't grant them understanding in this, it's never going to happen. Preachers sometimes fall into the grave mistake of thinking they can play the Holy Spirit and they can make people change. They can convince people to change. I hear that from a lot of young Christians too, who get a little bit of knowledge. I think that knowledge is enough to make people change. Nobody can make people change except God. Paul knew that. Have you ever been in a situation where you tried to explain to somebody how God comforted you in a situation it just seems like they couldn't understand? They couldn't comprehend. You remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? It said that Jesus drew near to them and went with them. Now, Jesus drew near to them and went with them. It says their eyes were holden that they should not know him. In other words, Christ had a way of concealing himself, even though he's present, just like Mary at the grave. Did not. Amazing. Now listen to me. And though their hearts, they said later on, burned within them while he talked with them and while he opened to them the scriptures. Remember later on they said, did not our hearts burn? It was only when Christ opened their eyes that they knew who he was. So Christ drew near, was walking with them, their hearts burned, but they didn't know Christ until Christ opened their eyes. You can understand scripture. You can have some kind of enlightenment. Your affections can be moved and still not know Christ. Until he reveals himself. Think about that. Minds may be taught, hearts and affections aroused by the truths of God. Yet until God grants enlightenment and understanding, the heart and mind remain yet in darkness. He was with them. He walked with them. Their hearts burned. But they didn't know it was him till he broke bread and revealed himself. And then they said, oh, this is Christ. So don't let your mind and your affections and your heart fool you. Some things only God can show. Something only God can reveal. Paul knew that. Look in chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 15. Another prayer Paul puts up, Ephesians chapter 1, 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks to you or for you, making mention of you in my prayers for what? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. See that? Paul said, I can't give that to you. Only God can give that to you. Here's probably one of the greatest preacher men ever knew besides Christ. I can preach you the best sermon you've ever heard. Have every word right, every pronunciation right. Quote scripture till I'm blue in the face. But only God can give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in him. Only God can do that. Job would learn by his troubles that one may hear by the hearing of the ears the things of God. Yet it's when one is made to see with the eyes the great things of God that one truly understands. Job said, I've heard thee with the hearing of the ears, but now I see thee. Big difference. So too, the Apostle Paul, understanding this great mystery, and it has a lot to do with our prayers, and I'll get into that in a few minutes, has a lot to do that, because a lot of what Paul is praying for them, they need to be strengthened with might by the Spirit and the inner man, because the truths of God are too weighty for a mortal man to carry. Have you ever been there? Listen to me, I wish it's been more often. I can only recall one time in 40 years that I can say I personally experienced that. And I'm telling you, it literally threw me to my knees, and I never had so much reverence and fear of God in my life. But I'm telling you, it was a life-changing event, and I wish it happened more often. But I'm telling you, sometimes we quote the Word of God and talk about the Word of God as though it's the Reader's Digest. It's the living words of God. And sometimes when God reveals you and I something in his Word, mortal man cannot take it if not the Spirit of God give us might and strength to be able to bear it. We'll get into that in a few minutes. But that's what he's talking about. Paul knew that about God. Paul knew that about believers. So Paul would beseech God to grant the believers at Ephesus divine truths he himself could never teach them. And this first request is the very foundation, Ephesians chapter 3, the very foundation upon which this entire prayer that Paul makes is built. And one without which the following petitions in these verses would not be possible. Look in verse 16. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. This is the very foundation of this prayer. This is what all the other petitions in verse 17 and 18 and 19 are all built on. Without this first petition, the others would not be possible. You need to grasp what Paul is saying in this very first petition. The first petition is not only a response to their being in danger of fainting, which Paul did not condone, but also in regards to the following request Paul makes for them. Both are in great need of them being strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Both of them. They're fainting because of his tribulations, and that what he's praying for them in verses 17 to 19. Both need this divine strengthening. So listen closely. I'm going to go slow. We'll probably have to carry this over to next week, but I do not want to go too quick on this because it's amazing if we could but grasp just a little bit of it. First of all, because the true believer is in great need of such strengthening with might by his Spirit, and that in the inner man, that we faint not at the many trials and tribulations and troubles we as believers are facing. He said, you're fainting because of my tribulations for you. That's the wrong way of looking at my tribulations. People are looking at the news today. Christians, let me just say this. Christians are looking at the news and media today, and they're beginning to faint. Oh, my God, we're losing control. What's going to happen? Where's God? They're beginning to faint. They're looking at the tribulations, and Paul's saying, you don't do that. You pray God give you strength or strengthen you with might by his Spirit in the inner man that you might be able to stand, that you might be able to endure. You don't faint. don't grow weary. They needed to know this so that they might not faint in his tribulations or theirs. Second of all, because such strength in the inner man is essential if we are to truly comprehend and receive such divine truths in our hearts. For the receiving of such divine truth requires a strength not of our own. Listen to what he says following this verse. After he prays to be strengthened by might, by his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. He just got finished saying in chapter 1 that they had faith in the Lord. These are true believers, but they didn't know about Christ dwelling in their hearts by faith. Let me stop there for a minute. There's many Christians, Spurgeon said it, and I can't remember exactly how he quoted. He said, but there's many Christians that'll stay ordinary, common Christians. They don't want anything more. They don't want anything less. They don't want to rise up to know Christ greater. They don't want to grow in Christianity. They're spirituality. They're content with being just complacent. They don't want anything more. But then there are others who long and desire to ever know Christ, to ever grow in grace and the knowledge. He said there's two categories, and he's right in that. But listen to me. When he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, the believers at Ephesus knew about faith in Christ, but they didn't know about his dwelling in their hearts by faith. Listen to me. Dwelling is abiding, an ever-present Christ. We're not talking about just simply a man. We're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about he who created all the universe. We're talking about a sovereign God, that he would dwell, ever abide, that he's ever present in our hearts. You think mortal man can actually grasp that truth without needing divine strength to hold us up? I'm getting ahead of myself. You remember John the Beloved in Revelations? When he seen Christ in his glorified body, he fell as dead. Couldn't take it. Moses said, Lord, let me see your glory. God says, okay, but I'm going to show you the backside. Put in a cliff of rock. He got halfway through and Moses said, God, no more. It's too great. You ever been there? When the presence of God was so overwhelming, it just drew you to your knees and you felt as nothing before God. This is the truth of God. Not a Reader's Digest. Not a MacArthur's commentary. It's the living Word of God. And Paul says, you need might. You need strength that comes only by His Spirit, and that in your inner man, so that you might be able to bear such things of knowing that Christ dwells in your heart by faith. And he goes on to say that you may be able to comprehend, being rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ with passes knowledge, far beyond what you and I can understand, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. You don't think that requires divine strength? How often when we open up the pages of God's Word and we read it or study it, how often are we humbled by what we read, overwhelmed by the truths of God's Word, that it just takes us to a point, a level of humility that we've never known before, because God is just abundantly so great. That's why we need this strength. Not only that we not faint at tribulations, but we need the divine strength if God ever chooses to reveal unto us more about Christ. It can overwhelm us if we don't have divine strength. Would you look just a little bit this morning? I know we're a little late, but give me a few minutes. I want you to look, first of all, that we need to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man because of the trials, troubles, and tribulations we must face at this present. We're in this present world. Notice he emphasizes the inner man. there is an outer man, something the world doesn't understand. All the world has is an outer man. We have an inner man. That's the inward workings of God's grace. It's divine grace in our heart. That's the inner man. That is the man. That is the inward part. That's the part God said, or Paul said, needs to be strengthened. Your outer man's not going to do anything for you. You know what your outer man's going to do? It's going to look at tribulations and go, oh, no. The world has no inner man to turn to, but you and I do. And Paul says, that inner man that's in you, it needs to be strengthened by his Spirit so that you can stand. If you're here this morning and you don't know Christ, you might have made a profession, be a church member. 30 years, 40 years, I don't know. I've seen people profess salvation for 40 years and realize they're not saved. But let me tell you something. If you're here and you're really a Christian, when I say inner man, you know what I'm talking about. If you're sitting here going, I have no earthly idea what he's talking about, you probably need to check your situation and your position in Christ. Every true believer knows when I say inner man, we're talking about that inward working of the grace of God that you've got to be aware of. You can't be a Christian and not be aware of it. I don't care what this modern day Christianity tells you. When God's grace enters the heart of a depraved man, let me tell you something, it's evident. It's evidential. You know it. You realize it. You comprehend it. Maybe not in its entirety, but you know there's an inner man. That's why Paul didn't have to stop to explain the inner man. They knew what that was. He knew that. The believers at Ephesus were in danger of fainting because of the outward tribulations of the Apostle Paul. Yet it wasn't deliverance, listen to me, it wasn't deliverance from the outward tribulations which the believer must seek. Paul's not saying seek deliverance from tribulations. Why? For all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Paul's not saying seek deliverance. Your fainting is not biblical. It's not spiritual. It's not right. But he says you need to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. That's the solution. Listen to me closely. We read it in Matthew. The Lord said, let that not trouble you. He that endures to the end. Did you see anything in all that troubling in the world where the Christian is to rise up and protest and fight? Don't let it trouble you. Endure unto the end. Let me tell you, if you don't get this morning, if you don't understand this, you're eventually going to fall away, which might mean that you were never saved at all, but you're going to wear yourself out if you don't get this, especially in this day and age, because everything that's happening right now is very troubling to the outward man. Like I said, all that animosity out there, it's going to turn. This whole world is a stage in which God is sovereignly fulfilling his divine purpose. And God said at the end of the world, they're all going to turn against the church. So all that anxiety, all that fear, all that rage is going to be turned against the church. It's going to happen. Why? Because we believe in the Word of God. They don't. We believe in truth. They don't. We believe in holiness. They don't. The Word of God doesn't fit the world's opinions. Never will. It's going to turn. What do we as Christians need to do? Well, if you're looking to the outward man, you're going to be filled with dismay and troubled and fearful and full of anxiety. Paul said that's not the solution. You know, the Bible, even when later on, I'm getting ahead of myself, but I need to get to the end of this. Even later on, Ephesians chapter 6, when he's talking about our spiritual warfare, being strong in the Lord, he said, put on all the armor of God that you may stand against. He doesn't even say, I want you to take your sword out and go to fight with the devil. He said, I want you to stand against the devil. Do all you can to stand. withstand the while, withstand. It's always an enduring. Throughout Scripture, Christianity is not defeating their enemies. It's enduring against them. It's persevering against them. The believers at Ephesus didn't understand that. They were fixing to faint because of Paul's tribulations. Paul says, wait a minute, don't do that. We're going to have tribulations. We're going to have persecutions. The key is that inner man. He's got to be strengthened so that you can stand. You can persevere. You can endure. Remember the sower and the seeds? You remember the one seed that didn't find any or get any root to it? What happened to it? Tribulations came along and it just dried up. They didn't have any what? Root. No inward man. Beloved, I know, please listen to me. When I look at the world and everything's going on, I mean, you almost don't want to read the news anymore. That's all they talk about. Rage and war and hatred. Sometimes you look at that and you think, you know what? I seen this in a movie years ago. You know, them taking over 13 city blocks and the government can't get in it. They're burning things and defund the cops and let's have an anarchy and all this kind of stuff. That was stuff they put in movies years ago. It's literally happening now. And you know what? Government's losing control. Sometimes when you look at that, it makes you really angry. We're not here to set the world right. Do you know that? We're here to stand for the truth of God. We're here to persevere, to endure. That's the greatest testimony we can give to the world. You know, the greatest testimony in the days of Nero was when Christians endured persecutions. Ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? You need to read it if you haven't. Oh, I'm telling you, the endurance they had to stand there and pray for their persecutors and beg on their behalf that God forgive them for what they're fixing to do and standing for the truths of God. Paul said, this is the key to it, that your inner man is strengthened, that you faint not. Let me tell you something. I'm sure some of you have lived long enough yourself as well. But in all my years of Christianity and 40 years of being a Christian, just like you, I've been through a lot of troubles and trials and persecutions and, man, valleys up and down, just like you. It was endurance that kept us going. It was God preserving us that kept us going. And sometimes we face things we could never, ever overcome of our own. We had to go through it. And you remember how God gave you the grace and the strength to go through it? You couldn't change it. It was impossible to change it. But he gave you that inward strength to go through it, to endure it. That's what glorifies God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Paul speaks of this inward and outward man again. And I promise I'm coming to a close. 2 Corinthians 4, excuse me, verse 16. Watch what Paul says here. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up us also by Jesus and all, and shall present us with you. Now watch this. For all things are for your sakes, for the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving and of many abound to the glory of God. For which cause we, there's that word, faint not. Why don't we faint? But though our outward man perish, that's the outward carnal things, though he perish, yet the inward man, inner man, inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Get your mind, get your heart on the things of eternity, the things eternal. The outward man perishes. The inward man is renewed day and day. That's that inward man. I don't do this often a lot, but let me quote someone on this passage in Ephesians that I hope helps clarify even more. Dr. Lloyd-Jones, if you've read anything by him, he said, and I quote, "True Christianity is never concerned primarily with the destruction of our enemies or the solving of our difficulties and problems. The Christian's way of dealing with all of life's problems is not, in the first place, to do anything about them, but to deal with our own spiritual state. And that by building up our resistance in our inner man by the Spirit." End of quote. Very well said. That's what Paul is saying. When the inner man is strengthened with might by his Spirit, listen to me. When the inner, and I think if you're a believer and been saved for any amount of time, you've got to bear witness to this. When the inner man is strengthened with might by his Spirit, it matters nothing about those things happening around us. And when those things happening around us mean nothing to us, we're more able to conduct ourselves in a Christian manner. Proverbs said, if you faint in the day of adversity, what is little? Huh? Your strength. If you faint in the day of adversity, Proverbs 24, your strength is little. Paul said, this is what you need to do. Stop fainting at tribulations. They're going to happen. Expect it. We're not loved in this world. We're appointed to it. Tribulations and afflictions are going to happen. Stop fainting at them. Pray otherwise that God strengthen us with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that we might be able to stand and endure it. And with that said, he says also, you're going to need this strength to be able to take or understand what he's fixing to pray about, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Oh, how I covet your prayers for this prayer of Paul, because there's a lot in here. There's a lot to be had by this. Paul prayed no other prayer like this. This is probably, like many said, one of the greatest prayers in the entire scripture, next to Christ himself. And Paul is praying and beseeching God to grant these believers these blessings, that they might be able to be filled with, listen to it, with the fullness of God. Just the thought of that. The fullness of God. That's why we need to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. May God give us grace to learn these things. May he grant us these things, for without him, we'll never know them. May God be honored and glorified, and may we all be strengthened in the inner man by his Spirit. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you that God, in a world where we see turmoil, Lord, we see hectic, we see fear and anxiety, hatred, wars. Father, I pray that you'd help us to listen to thy word this morning. That we would not faint at such things, but God, we would beseech thee as Paul did, that you would grant us, that we might be strengthened with might by thy Spirit in our inner man. That we might learn what it is to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, putting on the whole armor of God, that we might be able to stand against all the wiles of the devil. I pray you'd remind us that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, and that faith is what overcomes this world. God, grant your children security, strength, comfort, hope, and encouragement by thy word. Father, we ask and pray these things now in the name of Jesus Christ, who alone is worthy of all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.